Good morning, New Covenant, or whenever you might be listening to this teaching. As always, it's my pleasure to bring the teaching to you today. My name is Jeff Trask, adjunct pastor, New Covenant, and I am excited about this teaching. It's been inspired by just kind of reading Dr. King's book, Where Do You Go From Here? And reading about all the different efforts and things that King and other leaders have done and how they felt in many ways. That at the time, they didn't necessarily see their progress that they're making. So I thought about this notion about, you know, feeling like we're wasting time, we're wasting opportunities, we're wasting our efforts, and think about, well, how would God see that? And God doesn't waste anything, and we'll get into that today. And I'll start by saying what we do matters. As I've been discovering more about how our upbringings affect our today, I can't help but think about how I might be influencing my grandchildren in various ways. Memories of my childhood started at 3 years old, like my daughter Amaya is now. One of my most vivid memories, matter of fact, at that age included a day when my mom's car broke down when she was going to take, she was taking nursing classes at a local community college. And the routine was that there's a preschool nearby the college and she dropped me off and she'd go to school and pick me up when we go home. This one particular day, however, her car broke down, and the college was about 5 miles away from our home, and I'm not sure why or what the details behind it were, but we had to walk. And what was significant to me about having this 2-hour, 5-mile walk as a 3-year-old was that I remember walking the entire way without needing to be picked up at all. And it's funny because when I told the story to my kids, you know, they, you know, didn't believe me. And so I had to call my mom and she verified it for me. And I got my justification there. And I'm not sure why this particular memory was so, you know, retained over other memories I had. But the experience could have been thought of as a waste of time and energy and, you know, things that shouldn't have happened, but did happen. And now you got to spend time and energy to deal with it. But that experience ended up being more than just what might be perceived as a waste of time, because after all, it's a memory that I was able to share over the years with, you know, with my kids. It's a memory that my mom had, making me proud to have been so good at being able to walk at 3 years old. It also was used to give my kids some perspective. You know, anytime they were complaining about something, I may throw out one of these kind of stories in order to get them to realize that they got it better than they think they do. And it's just a good reminder that everything we do or what happens to us matters. And that's even the case if we don't have memories of it. You know, I saw a picture of my grandson Amari, who's only 1, be 2 in July. But it reminds me that, you know, even the ages that we don't recall things, that what happens to us makes a difference in our lives in various ways. I mean, even going to, you know, people with prenatal care, a lot of research shows that, good prenatal care has impact on children's development throughout their entire lives. And so even if we're not even conscious of certain things, those things end up mattering. What also matters is where we came from. I recently got my DNA records from this program that Dr. Lakeisha David put together with testing the Black folks' DNA in Illinois. And I found out that I have about 9.31% Ghanaian background. I do hope to actually go to Ghana this summer. And even though I'm more Nigerian, about 50% and 73% African overall, what's fascinating to me is, you know, about getting these results is seeing that all the things that all the different people actually that ultimately made me, you know, and I'm from all over the globe, matter of fact, maybe small percentages of other people, but it's in my DNA, it's in me, you know, somewhere there. And it makes me think about, you know, how it took all these people to make me. How even the 0.83 Chinese or the 0.15 Northern Indian Pakistani or the 0.8 Native American was all necessary to create my existence. Even the unpleasant reality of the 16.72% of me that's from European ancestry, or, you know, includes a 0.07 Scandinavian DNA, also end up making who I am and part of me. Every contribution from all these different people mattered. Nothing was wasted. The last slide I'll show in terms of my time since my last teaching was a clip of me going to Washington, D.C. To spend time with other national reparations leaders to strategize about how to make reparation a reality in our culture and society and today in everyday life. And this kind of endeavor makes me think about all the contributions so many people made over the years for freedom and for equality and for justice. And I think about, you know, every tear, every bit of energy that was used, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, emotional energy, every ounce of sweat, every drop of blood, every resource that was utilized. And I think about how all those things add to the debt owed to Black people, as none of it should have been necessary in the first place. And I think about how not even an iota of any of that was wasted. So to help kind of enter into this concept a little more, I want to tell a quick joke. One day, an old fish was passing by two younger fish. And as he passed by, he asked the two younger fish, "How's the water today?" And the two younger fish, you know, kept on swimming by. And a little later, one of the younger fish turns to the other younger fish and says, "What the hell is water?" And I like that story because it kind of shows us that sometimes things are so saturated in our lives that we don't even know that it's present. And I think that we've come to a place where we value things and we place a value on things to such a degree that we forget that there are many things that we have devalued in our society that actually do have value. And as we know, there's probably a long list of those things. And so in that context, I do want to talk about this idea of nothing being wasted. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I'm going to get a little existential here for a moment. Did you know that according to the most modern science that we have available today and from the most brilliant minds, that we are all 13.8 billion years old? If you believe in modern science, it says that we all came from this Big Bang, this idea of singularity, something smaller than the atom created the entire universe. And even if we parallel that with our creation story and God creating Adam and Eve and all of creation, at the end of the day, God created everything. God is everything. And if God created everything and God is everything, how can anything be wasted? I mean, are there disposable parts to God? If everything came from the same source, then we are everything. Even the stars and the moon and the planets and everything else that is in this universe were all made out of the same stuff. Again, nothing is wasted. Not even time. You know, if you're like me, you know, you feel guilty when you do things that seem like a waste of time. And after all, there are so many quote unquote significant things to do with life. I mean, who are we to waste the precious little time we have? And time does indeed fly by. I mean, there's probably a reason why Paul described life like a vapor that vanishes away. When I think about being 50, I especially wonder where the time went when I played basketball. And I watch some of these young guys and think to myself, I used to be able to do that. Now, I'm proud just to be on the court and be called old school by some of the young guys. It did not seem that long ago when I was playing with those old school guys thinking how easy it is to run around them. Now, they run around me. The reality is that despite what we do with our precious time, it all matters. Nothing is truly wasted. I mean, if you're resting, your body probably needs it. If you're zoning out, your mind probably needs a break. If you're waiting somewhere, your life probably needs to slow down anyway. Now, you might be thinking, but Jeff, surely everything is not meaningful and useful to us. And I say, you're right, not to us. But I would still contend that nothing is wasted from a God perspective. I mean, if you were to ask Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery at that moment, he'd probably say it was a waste of time and energy. If you were to ask Joseph when he was in prison for years after being falsely accused, at that time, he'd probably say that was a waste of time and energy. But after all was said and done, Joseph came to the conclusion that we just read in Romans 8:28. God did not say that all things are good. It says that God works all things for good. And finally, in Genesis 50:20, Joseph reveals that to his brothers and says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And of course, as the story goes, Joseph's experience, despite all that time feeling that it was wasted, ultimately allowed God's people to survive a 7-year drought due to Joseph becoming one of the top leaders in Egypt after all that he experienced and being able to guide the Pharaoh, ultimately in saving his food and basically saving his own people as a result. I think of a similar situation after reading Dr. King's book. There was a interesting story he shared in the book about how the whole term Black Power came to to come about in the first place, and really stemmed from this idea of feeling like the Black people feel like their time was being wasted, that what they were doing with nonviolent protesting wasn't getting the job done. And so ultimately, there was this kind of story about Stokely Carmichael using Dr. King to basically promote this notion of Black power. And King goes into a lot of explanation about why he didn't necessarily like that term and phrase and so on and so forth. But the overall idea was that this frustration of feeling like this time was wasted kind of produced this whole other movement in Black history. You know, what's interesting about that book is that King sounds kind of hopeless. I'm reading the book and I'm like, okay, where's the hope at, Martin? You know, you're the one with the dream, right? But he talks a lot about how the different things they felt like they're making progress is the things that where they've actually made either little, no progress, and even some cases have made have taken steps back. I mean, can you imagine these folks at the lunch counters? You know, they were, you know, abused and beaten, arrested, put in jail and everything. And then they get out and then they go back and do the same thing. And over again, I would imagine at that time, you know, they didn't know their efforts was going to produce anything in the moment, but they still did it anyway. But I'm sure that frustration and feeling like their time was being wasted must have felt real. But as we know, their efforts weren't wasted and things changed as a result of their sacrifice. Other sacrifice I want to highlight is the idea of Black invention. You know, there's many stories of Black people who have done remarkable things, but never gotten credit for it due to racism in this country. One of them is this guy named John Erse Metzeliger. I probably definitely chopped his name up. Even though that name is actually an African-American guy. And what's interesting about his history, I just learned about recently, is that in 1883, he obtained a patent for an invention for an automated shoe-lasting machine. And what that the significance of that is that prior to this invention, shoes were, you know, rare commodities for people because they're so expensive to make. And his machine allowed mass production of shoes. You know, so Nike and all these other shoe companies have John Erse to thank about his invention, who, again, did not get credit for it. And thankfully, the records have been realized where we can realize that he did have this invention and should get credit for it now. But I'm sure at the time when he invented this and didn't get that credit, he probably felt like to some degree that that was a waste. But again, as we know, ultimately, nothing is wasted. So you might feel that certain parts of your life have been wasted, you know, where it feels like you might have missed some opportunities in life, or, you know, time spent at an unfulfilling job, or maybe you have delayed or unrealized dreams or other things that may make you feel like something has been wasted. But whether you see it or not, God uses it. You know, for us, it can be painful. It can be unjust and unfair and just like just plain suck. But know that nothing is indeed wasted. And maybe if we can embrace that reality, we might be able to benefit from it. You know, maybe appreciating, you know, the quote unquote little things, you know, and maybe, you know, things that we thought were wasteful or things that we thought were waste, maybe looking at it a little differently. You know, for example, you know, just taking a moment in life sometimes, you know, use that time I talked about earlier and just to pause. And let's just do that real briefly now. Let's just take a pause and take a nice deep breath. One more. And just enjoy all the moments that we get to breathe every single day. You might want to take a walk and experience nature in some way. Or just view everything around you having purpose, even if it's hard to, you know, believe that it has value. You know, it's pretty hard to convince me that mosquitoes are useful and beneficial. But again, God doesn't waste anything. You know, you could even appreciate the what I call the in-between time, you know, such as when you're traveling somewhere. Sometimes we're so focused on just kind of getting to our destination where we're taking flights or driving. You know, maybe you can enjoy even those moments. You know, maybe just when you're waiting in line, you just enjoy being present in that moment. If you're driving a car, you're enjoying the scenery, enjoying the drive itself. You know, we can learn to understand that nothing is wasted. We might be able to really benefit personally from that perspective. And I realize that with our crazy, topsy-turvy world, that can feel very elusive. You know, it could be almost as elusive as the notorious nobody. You know, for about, 29 years of parenting, I've been chasing around and trying to find this nobody, because when things happen around the house, things get broken, things get lost, it's always nobody's fault. And so I've been searching for nobody for years and years and years. And that feeling of everything being important, nothing being wasted, can feel like chasing nobody, but it's there. You know, I have shown a picture on my slides of a little handprint. It's the first evidence in 29 years of parenting and now grandparenting that I got a glimpse of nobody. It's a handprint of a stain that's on a chair. That's the little, like a kind of little handprint that I got some evidence that nobody exists. And then my next slide, shows the two suspects, my two grandchildren, narrowed it down to the two people being nobody in this particular crime scene. But in any case, it can feel elusive to feel like we're not wasting our time and things in life are not being wasted. But I can very much assure you that God is everything and God uses everything. And the most prevalent example we can think of in our Christian world is Jesus himself. I'm sure at that time, a lot of that might have felt like a waste. 3 years of ministering to disciples and thousands of people, feeding folks, healing folks, trying to do all the best things you can do, only to find yourself being persecuted and tortured and put up on a cross. I mean, in the moment, no one but Jesus knew the significance of all that was happening and how these actions will result into, millions and billions of people over the course of thousands of years becoming believers in a religion and in a doctrine that says we ought to love one another. I mean, I can't imagine how painful, unjust, unfair, and just plain sucky that would have been for Jesus in that moment. But now we get to live in the reality that God used it for good, just as God does with everything.